Mr. Governor, Ministers, Commander-in-Chief of the Pakistan Air Force, Pakistan Army, members of the National and the Provincial Assembly, Excellencies, I am delighted to welcome you to Larkana. I am happy that we've had this opportunity of meeting you here. I hope you'll enjoy your stay. You've enjoyed your stay in Larkana. I believe you did a little bit of shooting, and I came to learn that most of you are not very good shots. But that's because you're doing much more important work than shooting. And also, I believe that you had an excursion of Mohenjo-Daro, a very old civilization, one of the oldest in the world. And we've tried to preserve Mohenjo-Daro, but we haven't had the resources, really, to excavate more. There's much more there than we have excavated so far. But due to the waterlogging and salinity problem and lack of funds, we haven't been able to do as much as we wanted to. It's not only the most ancient, one of the most ancient civilizations, but you'll see from its structure, from the way they had drainage in those days and other things, that when as a young boy I used to go to Mohenjo-Daro, I was fascinated by it. And my love and attachment for architecture began from my first glimpses of Mohenjo-Daro. And I hope that in the future, when we have the resources and the money, we'll be able to pay a little more attention, not only to Mohenjo-Daro, but to Harappa. It's also a very old civilization, and other archaeological sites in our country. In the first place, I want to thank the international community for having supported Pakistan's position in the General Assembly. The General Assembly is the voice of the world. And in the General Assembly, we can never forget that 105 countries supported Pakistan, but not really Pakistan, supported a basic, immutable principle of international law. And for that, I thought I must personally meet you and thank the world community. In a few days, in a day or two, I'm proceeding abroad to a few friendly countries. This is also necessary because of the crisis we face. Many of our problems cannot be resolved by my remaining only in Pakistan. If all our problems could be resolved by my staying here, I would not leave because I cannot afford to leave these days. But I know that most of our problems have become so intertwined with the approach of the world towards the subcontinent that it's necessary for me to go out and thank friendly countries for the support they've given us, and also to try and explain to them our point of view. So the questions of the subcontinent, that is relations between East and West Pakistan, relations between us and India, all are related also to the outside world. And the outside world must now also not only understand us, but fulfill its moral responsibility for peace in the subcontinent. I can assure you that we are determined to make strenuous efforts to arrive at a just and a fair peace in the subcontinent. All I say is, please give us a little bit of time. And I think that in the present circumstances, the time I ask for is not unreasonable. Half of my country is under foreign occupation. This is a very important factor. And besides that, judging from what one reads and what one hears, the authority has not been fully established in East Pakistan. And to show our bona fides, I've taken the initiative of appealing to Sheikh Mujibur Rahman that we are prepared to assist in our modest way for the restoration of authority in East Pakistan. If we were moving in a wrong direction, in a negative direction, we would not have made that offer. We say that we are prepared to send back East Pakistan personnel in the armed forces, in the civil service, and we are not prepared to haggle, barter, and bargain. We don't look at this problem as something written in the ledger books. We look at this problem as something written in history. So we are, without rancor, prepared to go to the ultimate extent to arrive at a settlement, a fair and a just settlement, without preconditions. We are not imposing any preconditions. We don't want to impose preconditions. You don't impose conditions on your own fraternity. We have lived together. We have been members of one state. And we believe that our links, sooner or later, in some form or the other, will be restored. The problem is very complicated. And all I beseech you to do is to not make it more complicated for us. We are moving in the right direction. We want to find a settlement, a lasting settlement. We'll spare no efforts to do it. We'll make not only strenuous efforts, but we'll make sincere efforts to bring about a lasting settlement. But ladies and gentlemen, please remember that what we are facing today in our country and in the subcontinent is really unique. It is without parallel in the history of the world. The First World War was fought because Austria made claims on Serbia. The Second World War was fought because Germany made claims on Poland. Two great wars were fought, and here today in the subcontinent, a war was fought which was far more dramatic in its ambitions than the claims of Austria on Serbia or the claims of Germany on Poland. And it's not, I'm not only pleading for my country or for the future of peace in the subcontinent. I am pleading for a sensible moral pattern of international relations. And I don't think that the story ends by a conquest, especially not by a military conquest. The story only begins with a military conquest. We've had a long and battered history in the past between our two great communities, and sometimes one community has succeeded, sometimes the other community has succeeded. The decline of the Mughal rule brought about the rise of the Maratha power. But the Marathas did not succeed in taking the subcontinent. A third country succeeded in taking the subcontinent for 200 years. So the Indian leaders should also not be myopic. They should take into account these factors. And as I have said repeatedly, we are prepared to meet the Indian leaders for a just and an equitable settlement in the subcontinent. And I would say now that the time has come when we should not make any more public statements on this matter, neither here nor in New Delhi. Time has come when we can use the diplomatic channels, use you, our friends, to prepare the next steps, because these things only complicate the problems. Public statements, preconditions, made publicly, then you become prisoners of words. And we don't want to become prisoners of words. We want now to move to the second step. And that, in that also, you can assist us a great deal. And I would now refrain from any public comments, because I have already said that we are prepared to meet the Indian leadership to arrive at a lasting settlement between our two countries. So I would also expect the same kind of reciprocity from India, and that now the time has come when diplomatic channels can be used for this purpose. And that's another reason why I thought I'll trouble you here, to ask for the conscience of the collective community of the world to bring to bear its influence on these questions. Because I shudder to think of what will be our future if we do not arrive at a new modus vivendi based on principles of justice and equity. Because the matter is getting more puzzling by the passage of each day. India went into East Pakistan on the claim that she was going there in response to the will of the majority of East Pakistanis, that is the Bengalis. Now the Indian Prime Minister said that that the Indian forces have to remain in East Pakistan to protect the minority. This is a very important and interesting development, that in the first instance, India intervenes on the so-called aspirations and wishes of the majority, which is also wrong, because you don't do that. You don't walk into another country with bayonets and tanks and then say that you have been called by the majority of the people. But today India claims that she is remaining in East Pakistan in order to protect the minority. And this is another very intriguing development. So we believe that there are certain essential prerequisites to be fulfilled before there is a lasting settlement in the subcontinent. We don't want to threaten the world. We are not in a position to threaten the world. And I admit it quite clearly that we have suffered a humiliation beyond endurance. And we want to put it right. Our people are noble enough, brave enough, great enough to put it right. I'm telling the people of Pakistan the truth. People of Pakistan must know the truth, because they are a heroic people and they will vindicate national honor. But the situation today is that we have suffered a very great setback. And setback is an understatement. So from the world, I expect an understanding. We are rebuilding ourselves. We'll make a new Pakistan, a prosperous and a bright Pakistan for the people of this country. And you must understand us. And it is with this effort that I am leaving for a few friendly countries to mobilize support. Mobilize support for our cause, because it is a cause of morality and justice. Mobilize support for our needs and requirements. Mobilize support for our prisoners of wars, which are held in bondage. Mobilize support for a just settlement between East and West Pakistan. I am determined, I am anxious to meet Sheikh Mujibur Rahman as soon as possible. The sooner we meet, the better. And I welcome the statements he has made in this connection. I think we should carry them to their logical conclusions. But this does not mean that simultaneously we are not prepared to meet the Indian leadership. We are simultaneously prepared to move ahead even on that field, because I don't think the two are incompatible. And the press, they ask us questions, what our relations will be with other countries, if certain developments take place. All I can say is I appeal to the world community not to take any precipitative measure. Not to take any measure, because after all, if you take it today, you can take it tomorrow also. Then why not wait for that tomorrow, till we have come to some understanding, till we have exhausted all avenues of a peaceful search. And in that connection, I would like to say we have been subjected to military coercion. Today we should not be subjected to diplomatic coercion, because we have suffered enough by military coercion. Our nation should not be suffered more by diplomatic coercion. And as far as the Commonwealth is concerned, I've said again repeatedly, we are members of the Commonwealth. We made a contribution to the Commonwealth. There might not have been a Commonwealth without the sacrifices of our brave people who fought in the Second World War and in the First World War. So we want a better understanding from the Commonwealth. The Commonwealth should give us a better understanding than other nations, because we have been in that fraternity for a long time. Therefore, the Commonwealth should not shoot the gun before there is a crystallization. And for that crystallization, we're not asking for a long period of time. We're asking for a sufficient period of time, a necessary period of time. In any case, if we leave the Commonwealth, I think the British will be happier than anyone else, because they want to wind up the Commonwealth more than anyone else. But however, that's a different matter. The question is that no haste. That's all I ask. We plead for time. That's all we're pleading for, and that will not prejudice. That will not prejudice your final outcome. Because after all, lasting relations between states are not based on the consideration who was the first to recognize. That's never a final consideration as to who was the first to recognize. There are more important factors involved in the relationship between states, between sovereign states. So we believe that we can still salvage the unity of Pakistan. You might think it's not possible, it's impractical, but we have done many impractical things in the past. Why not? I have something, some hope, something in my heart tells me we can still salvage it in some form or shape. So please give us this final opportunity to arrive at a settlement one way or the other. At least give us the opportunity to make this effort. And if we don't succeed, then you can turn around and say, well, we gave you the opportunity, but you did not succeed. Now, I don't think that's an unfair request that I am putting to the world community. And I want, finally, to thank everyone who has stood by our cause and stood by the cause of justice, because really, in a way, one chapter has ended, another chapter is beginning. Another chapter is beginning, for which we need vision, foresight, understanding.
The President, Mr. Zulfiqar Ali Bhutto, addressed ambassadors, high commissioners and other heads of diplomatic missions in Pakistan at a dinner he hosted for them at Larkana last night. You have been listening to the recording of the President's address delivered on this occasion. With that, Radio Pakistan closes this national hookup.